Any change to the Tabor Amendment takes a vote of the people. So it really is up to the people of Colorado whether or not any potential changes are necessary. But beginning in November, I will be the chair of the Joint Budget Committee and will be faced with a state budget that is reflective of a growing economy and additional revenues into the state budget. But because of Tabor, we have hit what's called the Tabor cap and will actually be issuing taxpayer refunds this year.
And why not? That sounds lovely as a taxpayer.
Well, I've heard Governor Hickenlooper say that it's very popular for a governor to be issuing tax refunds to people. The issue really is that as I travel around the district and listen to people, I hear the need for more resources for public education, for K-12, for individuals with developmental and intellectual disabilities, more mental health services. People are expecting our state to respond because they see the economy growing and they have more expectations for what we can deliver. So I'm really supportive of the idea of visiting, do those rationale for Tabor in 1992. Are they serving us well in 2015?
What are some tweaks that you think might be a good idea?
Well, we have a couple ideas on the table right now. There was one that was introduced in the legislature last year, and it's about a fee that counts toward the Tabor cap that's called the hospital provider fee. So people will start hearing a lot of conversation about this. Different groups are being asked to weigh in on whether they think it's a good idea or not idea to consider that revenue into the state budget exempt from the Tabor cap in the similar way that we take in tuition from students to fund higher education. That tuition revenue doesn't count towards the Tabor cap. It's held in a separate enterprise fund. And so the conversation will be, should this hospital provider fee be held in the same kind of category, exempt from the Tabor limit? The concept passed in the House last session, but it died in the Senate. So I believe that if we can pick up that conversation and reach some bipartisan agreement around that, we'll have a little bit of room in our next year's budget to be able to address some of the needs that the people are expecting us to fill. Looking at our revenue forecast for next year, we base our state budget that began this past July on our March revenue forecast because the legislature dismisses in May. And then we get a quarterly forecast. And because of the decline in the oil and gas industry statewide, it's looking like our budget picture isn't as rosy as we had thought it would be in March. So we might be faced first with a deficit in having a balanced budget as we begin the year, which could also mean that we don't have the funds that we need to fund our schools per our Amendment 23 constitutional increase. So we've got some challenges. I'm willing to take them on and try to do everything I can to fund our schools in the way that the people expect us to do and in a bipartisan way.
Any early ideas on what might be the best way to do that?
Well, quite honestly, if we're not able to exempt some of this revenue from the Tabor cap, it's going to be a very, very challenging budget year. We have a fixed set of resources we refer to as the pie. And if we increase the K-12 pie, then somebody else has to decrease their portion of the pie. And many times that's impossible because some of the pieces of the pie are mandatory, like Medicaid. Also, a significant portion of our budget goes to human services, and decrease in those critical components of the state budget will have a negative ripple effect throughout the state. So I'm very hopeful that we're able to come to the table with some idea of how to reach mutual agreement on finding a revenue that we can actually use in this next budget.
Well, Representative Hamner, thanks so much for taking the time to talk.
Thank you.